Well, to continue on the analogy, the Medrash makes between Klal Yisrael and Parah Aduma and the Umas Ha'Elam and Parah Aduma. It does both. Last week we spoke about the unique role of Edom. The Edom goes up the ladder, and Yaakov Avinu doesn't see the end. They just keep going, the Tsar of Edom. The Malach of Edom, they go up the ladder in Yaakov's dreams, and keeps ascending and ascending and ascending and ascending and ascending, and Yaakov can't see the end. So we spoke about how even those that have called Bali Ruach HaKodesh, and they could see things that other people can't see, if they're in this world, then they're only going to see things that come because of this world. And the downfall of Edom is not within this world. So let's continue on this Nakuda. Well, it's not an accident. The same Medrash that draws parallels between the different nations, especially Edom and Parah Aduma, draws a parallel between Klal Yisrael and Parah Aduma. In fact, that's Parah Aduma line. The steer of Parah Aduma is it's metame esatayrim, it's metame esatmeirim. The same avoda could be a sheirish for contradictory effects. That it could make something that's Torah tamei, something that's tamei Torah. It's mamisha. It's a pelotum. But you find that very same steer in the Midrashim, because the same Parah Aduma could be a makkah for Klal Yisrael, could be a makkah for Edom. They make up your mind. Is Parah Aduma a makkah for a good thing? It's a makkah for a bad thing. Is it a makkah for a Torah thing? It's a makkah for a Tamei thing. How could you do that? How could you say that Parah Aduma is... You know what Parah Aduma is? That's Klal Yisrael. Tamima, Le'ola La'ol, Saduma, and you explain each and every prat that's Klal Yisrael. Tamima is Yenasi Tamasi. The Klal Yisrael is my pure dove. It's a mamish. Klal Yisrael is a mamish like Parah Aduma. Yenasi Tamasi. Yenasi Bechag V'Yasela. My entibula, my dove. Yeah, it's beautiful. No, it's the Umais. Tamima, I think he said was Yavan. Tamima was Yavan. Because Yavan, Alexander the Great said that he saw the vision of Shimon HaTzadok before his campaign. So it's like he's Tamim. Or Madai, some real great, well impressed with Madai, because when they worship Avodah Zarah, so it's only because of the Messiah of their fathers that they believe in it. So all the things that we talked about that were Shvachim for Klal Yisrael, those same Sukkim are Shvachim for the Umas Ha'Elam. It's the same thing. And whatever the Umas Ha'Elam did wrong, it's not so bad. Don't worry, there's a steer in the neighbor, the Midrashim are a steer. How could the same thing be used to explain Klal Yisrael's special role in creation, and then the Umais? If Klal Yisrael I referred to the different stages of Parah Aduma, and the Umais culminating in Edom is referred to by the different pratim of Parah Aduma, and the Parah Aduma is something that no one in this world understands. So it means Klal Yisrael b'shei Rasham. It means to understand Klal Yisrael ad ha'sof, to understand everything about them is beyond human capability to understand. You can understand certain things externally about Klal Yisrael, but to understand Klal Yisrael totally and completely, it means to understand everything about them. How they were created, where they came from, what their mission is, what they're capable of, and to understand totally and completely, you can't understand with human seichel. In the same vein, you can't understand the power of the Umma called Edom. It's also, you need superhuman seichel in order to understand him, Edom. Just because they're wicked doesn't mean they're easy to understand. They're complex. And it comes up to the point that the understanding of Adam is goes beyond this world. So Klai Yisrael and Adam, they have a tzad hashava. That the Havana, the understanding in Klai Yisrael, you can't understand them. You cannot understand Klai Yisrael. After a person dies, they can understand Klai Yisrael, Lachamei Veser. But in this world, you can't understand Klai Yisrael. The wisdom necessary to understand Klai Yisrael, it was not given to this world. And if it wasn't given to this world, then we don't have it, we don't understand it. And the same thing is for Edom. And they're both mirrored, they're both found in the Parah Aduma. There's a name for this Chachma. This Chachma, then, the ability to understand everything from its root. Beginning to understand, you know, what went into creating something, and the very fabric of what its makeup of. There's a chokhmah that goes beyond the externalism of this world. And that chokhmah has a name. It's called the Shar Hanun. It's called the 50th gate. Anything in this world is external by nature. This world is an external world. God made a world that what presents itself is the external. A human being in this world, you don't see the pneumius of a person, you only see the outside of a person. The part of the person that's available, the part of the person that can be seen, is the most insignificant part of the person. The body of the person, what's significant about that? You see the body of the person, you don't know whether the person is wise, whether they're kind, whether they're confident, whether they're accomplished, whether they're talented, whether they possess strong emotions, whether they're intelligent. Those things are important, and you don't see any of that in this world. You can't see emotion, you can't see intelligence, you can't see knowledge, you can't see feelings. Those things are real. All you see is a body, and the body can hide things. You can have someone that he's not happy and he fakes it. He looks happy. The body's a liar. The body's superficial. It's a liar. Everything in this world gives off false messages. Everything in this world only gives off a superficial, shallow message. There's no depth in this world whatsoever. You have to be very perceptive to see deeper beyond the surface. And the seven dimensions says to superficiality. The seven dimensions is what's in front of you, what's behind you, what's on the right of you, what's on the left of you, what's on the top, what's on the bottom, what's in the center. What's important, what's less important, what hasn't happened yet, what has happened already, what's beyond you, what's beneath you, that's also seven. Everything is broken up into seven. Seven directions, the seven areas. You see, the things that are integral to you, that's like the right side. The things that are less important to you, they're aids, they're like tools, but they're not the main thing, that's the left side. The things that are higher, they're more lofty than you, that you have to climb to reach, that's up. The things that you're beneath your dignity, that's down. The things you've done already, that's behind you. The things that you've yet, that's in front of you. And then there's you, in the middle, that's seven. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti. That's it. It's only seven. That's one. Those are one. The seven colors of the rainbow. Everything is sevens. And everything in this world is sevens. It can be broken up into sevens. It's all superficial. There's no depth to sevens. There's another dimension beyond the seven. It's the eighth dimension. It's the proverbial Aleph on top of Zion. Zion is Bigmatria 7. Aleph is 1. So it's not really an eighth dimension. It's 1 on, it's 1 on top of 7. It's Oz Yashem Maisha, Oz Yimal Yisrael Pinu. Oz Yemu Vagayim. Aleph Agav Zion. And that's the dimension that is beyond nature. And there's no cover-up. And everything in that dimension is its true essence, and nothing covers it up. There's no layers. There's no cover-up. And we don't see that in this world. We are incapable of seeing anything that's in this world without a cover over it. This is the world of green glass covers. Jordan, you okay? Green glass cover. I mean, it's just there's cover. You know, there is nothing in this world. There's nothing in this world but covers. There's a layer on top of another layer on top of another layer on top of another layer. But to remove all the layers and see what's underneath it all is not in this world. The only way to remove all the covers is to leave this world. So the wisdom of understanding what's at the core of everything. What things are without the covers, without the nevushim, without the klippers. There's a lot of words for these things. That wisdom we don't possess in this world, that's called the Sharanun.
It's called now.
Shar Hanun. The Maral talks about Haman, it's in Yana Diyama, it's almost Atar. It's Mamish, almost Atar. It's almost Atar, Atar's upon us. Haman sought to hang Mordechai in the gallows. The gallows was a beam which was 50 yamas tall. He got the beam from the area called Ararat, somewhere near present-day Turkey. Haman's son was the governor of Ararat, so he got a hold of the beam. And the beam was a remnant of Tevis Nech. Tevis Nech was 50 amos by 300 amos, so he got a cross beam. So we think, you know why Haman had to get one from Tevis Nech? Because he needed a 50-yama beam. Where's he going to get one from? They didn't have it in Home Depot. So he figured that, hey, the Tevis is 50-yama, I'll just get one of those. And my son happens to be the governor. So Haman got it because he didn't want to wait for them to order it. Maral says, Nishna Zayin, Maral says, the Tevis was Alpha Gabi Zayin, that the world was covered by water. That means the entire world as we know it was destroyed, was covered by water. And anyone that was a part of the world wasn't there anymore. They were all destroyed. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved Nayak in a very unique manner. He could have saved Nayak. He could have had everyone got sick and died, and Nayak didn't have antibodies. But then Nayak would be in the same world as the people that died. And he would have died also, because the world had to die. So there's only one way to save Nayak. The Nayak should be above the world. He shouldn't be a part of the world. If he's not a part of the world, so then the world could die and he could survive. Otherwise, there's no handle. You cannot be a part of the world at the time when the world is being destroyed and survive. If you're in the world and the world is destroyed, then you're part of the world, you get destroyed. It doesn't matter if you deserve it or you don't deserve it. You're part of the world. The world's destroyed. It's a Mimela. So the Tevis Nayak was floating on top of the waters. It was above. So the world of seven was destroyed. And Nayak's Teva was above the seven. That's why the beam was 50 yamas long, because as you know, that the world of seven, each seven is divided into sevens. So if you have everything in the world is divided into seven, each seven is divided into smaller subcategories of seven. So you end up with seven main categories and 49 subcategories. So the number 49 and 7 are the same. Everything in this world is divided into either seven directions or seven notes on the scale. Or well, the seven days a week, let's not forget that. And those sevens are divided into smaller pieces of sevens. So the maximum seven is 49. 50 is the number which starts the eights. So Tevis Nayach had a bean that was 50 amas wide, because Tevis Nayach, the whole existence of Tevis Nayach is because it's existing l'malam v'derech
ha-teva. So is that the first case of eight?
Every bris mila was eight. I heard of a bris mila before Nayach. Nayach was born Mahal. Nayach was born in 8. He didn't have to go through the normal process of 8 days, being part of the world of 7, being part of the world of 7 and then becoming 8. He was born 8. He was a born 8. The Teva was 8. The Teva was 50. There were Nisim. If you're interested, there were Nisim with the Teva. The water was boiling hot. And the Teva didn't melt. They put a coating over it, but that's really not going to be very effective. The water boiled everything. There were so many miracles in the Teva. Neis was Derech HaTeva in the Teva. The Rishonim say, if you make a cheshbon of how much food all the animals in the Teva had to eat, there's no room in the Teva for the food. There's no room in the Teva for the animals. We know what an Amma is. The Rishonim say, well, maybe the Amma in those days was bigger. And they said, but if the Amma in those days was bigger, then the animals were bigger. You don't gain anything. No, if the Amma is bigger, that means that the animals are bigger. So we assume that the Amma is our Amma, and an elephant, you put two elephants in there, and if a giraffe is kosher, you got seven giraffes, not just two giraffes. You got seven cows and seven bulls. And the amount of animals, the food. How many tons of hay does an animal eat, an elephant eat a day? They have the food, the whole thing is Derech Neis. You've got garbage there for a whole year. Got every single animal in the animal kingdom there for a whole year. There's no air purification system. There's garbage there the whole year. How do you exist? How do you live? And you're not capsized.
Why didn't they just throw the garbage overboard?
Good question. I think it's probably, they were afraid of getting a fine. It's against the law.
Couldn't just throw it out of the top? Unless that's a riot that it wasn't a window on top and that it was actually light or something.
I don't know.
The fish were also somehow 50, somehow...
The fish were also not part of the world. Exactly. The fish were survived because fish are never part of the world.
To begin with?
Fish are never part of the world to begin with. They live where people can't live.
Smart.
So the fish weren't part of the marble. And Haman wanted to take a gales of 50 yamas. This gales of 50 yamas was dafka off in Tevis Nayach, and he wanted to hang Mordechai there. The Maharal explains the Mordechai of that generation, he represented the highest of the generation he had to offer. Mordechai of that generation was a parallel to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah. And by Purim was a time of Hada Kiblu, by Me'achash Ferish, there was a Kabbalah Satira. It says, Kimu V'Kiblu. This is why this week's Parsha and Nasa. Kol Shad Diva Hashem Nasa, which is Parsha's Matan Torah, Mishpatim. And it says, the B'nai Shal Kimu V'Kiblu. What's Kimu V'Kiblu? Kimu is the same, is the translation of the word Nasa, and Kiblu is Nishma. Kimu is we're going to do, and Kiblu we're Mekabu, we're going to listen. Kima v'kibla is Nasa v'nishma. They said Nasa v'nishma. And they mekabel the Torah mechadash me'avos hanes. And Mordechai was the Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in Sukkah says, whatever it means, he was able to touch the bottom of the Kisei HaKavod. Moshe Rabbeinu had some kind of contact with the world beyond this world. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, didn't take any food along, he didn't need any food, he ate whatever the Malachim ate. Mordechai had a shakas with the Sha'anan. He had a connection with the Sha'anan. He had a shakas with the Sha'anan. And that means he understood things that other people didn't understand. He certainly understood what was going on at the time of Purim, and nobody else understood it. No one. The Sanhedrin did not understand. The Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, they didn't understand. Esther didn't understand. The Malachim, Gabriel and Michal didn't understand. The Mevarshim say that Gabriel and Michal didn't understand. They went to Mordechai. They gave to Mordechai as Divi Esther. They went to Mordechai and they spoke harshly to Mordechai. They spoke harshly to Mordechai. You know why? Because they didn't understand Mordechai. What's he doing? Nobody understood. He had the entire world on one side. Mordechai on the other side. He didn't have any allies. But he was sure. He didn't have any doubts. Wouldn't you maybe just think maybe he should bow down to Haman? Maybe, or maybe not be around when he walks through the streets, just not to antagonize him. Everybody said, all his friends are telling him that, you know. Don't go to Akashverish now. Wait. You have time. Wait. Esther says, wait. He'll call me eventually. No, it's gotta be now. How could he be so clear? How could he be so sure? Because he knew. He saw what they couldn't see. He was at a higher level. He saw from the Sha'anan. He saw, everyone else was seeing events, and he saw the cause of the events. Trying to break it down in a way that you could understand it. Everyone else saw events and they're reacting. They're reacting to action. You know, actions are done and they're reacting. And he saw that everything was all connected. He saw with a far-reaching vision. He saw what's happening now had its roots back in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, which was four generations before. He saw that the Jews bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, and that caused all the tsaros. So he's not going to bow down to Haman's idol. Let's just continue what they did. Hashem is giving you an opportunity to stand up to an idol. They're in the mess in the first place because they bowed down to an idol. He's going to stop on. See, he made the connection to four generations before. He saw the sharashim of things. He saw the root of the trouble. That's the cook of a Sha'anan. Haman wanted Mordechai hung on the Sha'anan. The morale said that, I mean, I don't know how these things work. I don't know if I'll ever know how these things work. But the morale says it. He says that if Haman would have been matzliach to hang Mordechai on the gallows at 50 amos high, so instead of Mordechai being there, having that vantage point, being able to see things to the very end, being able to understand the causes of things and not just the outgrowth, being able to be so wise you see everything, you know, from its very beginning to its very end and understanding it. So Haman would have replaced Mordechai. Haman didn't want to just kill Mordechai. He wanted to replace him. Haman would be the one that understands everything. And can you do it? Once you become the person that understands everything until the very end, then everybody has to follow you. That's world domination. World domination. If you understand someone to his very end, you understand it better than he understands himself. So then you can control him. So by hanging Mordechai on a gallows that was 50 amas high, he wanted to knock Mordechai off the Sha'anun and put himself in place. I'll tell you something very powerful, which I learned from my Rebbe, Ramesh Shapira. These are things, we learn these things all the time with no Megillas Esther. The evidence is there. The Pasuk says, V'yitzi Yaakov mi-Bereshava v'yilach Haran. Yaakov went out of Bereshava and he went to Haran. Rashi says, Bay Bayayim, that day. He left one day, he got there. Takes many days to get there. You start walking from Bereshava to Haran. See how long it takes you. It takes you a while. And he did it by Bayayim. It was instantaneously. He left Bereshava, he got to Haran. You can't just cough to lay out. It's Kriyat Seder. You're familiar with Kriyat Seder. What's Kriyat Seder? Is Kriyat Seder because your feet just move really, really fast? Is that Kriyat Seder? Is that Kriyat Seder? In this world, in order to get from one place to the next, you have to walk. You got to travel. You can't get from one place to the next without traveling, and traveling takes time. Because in this world, Hashem created a world that there's different places. And you have to get from one to the other. Let me tell you something. In Shemayim, there's no different places. You don't have to go from one place to the next. You know why? Because in Shemayim, you're there. You arrive. When you got to the place that you've arrived at your place, you don't go anywhere. You stay. That's all there is. In Shemayim, all there is, my father always says that there's no such thing as there when I get there. Because once you're there, when you get there, then you're here. He says you can never get there. Stop. You can never get there. Because when you get there, you're here. When a person arrives in Olam Haba, Chamei V'Esrim, he's here. There's no place to go. Where you are, that's fine. There's no places. There's no journeys to get from here to there. In this world, you have to work hard to get places. Once a person leaves this world, It's time for your Makabelskar. You sit there, your Makabelskar. There's no trials, there's no tribulations, there's no choices, there's no hard work. You made it. You're there. It's over. Some of the pasuk says on him, the Oretz Kavtzala, you've created that derech. That means for that particular time period, whatever that period, he got to a level that this world doesn't exist for him. There's no process of... It doesn't take 3 weeks to go from here to there. There is no here and there. You're everywhere at one time. There's no different places. Malachim don't have to walk from one place to the next. They don't even have legs. Their legs are bonded together. They can't walk with their legs. Maybe they can hop, you know? They can't. Their legs are stuck together. Like in Kedusha, they can't walk. You know why they can't walk? Because they don't have to walk. Wherever they are is where they're supposed to be. If they have to be somewhere else, they're there. Where they are where they're supposed to be. They don't. There's no process that they have to walk from here to there. So they don't have legs.
Kvitsa
there. Hopping. Kavtala Earth. Rashi says that the ground jumps, not the person. Kavtala Earth. That means that something happens to the ground. The ground disappears. It means Yaakov Avinu disappeared from this world and reappeared. He disappeared from Beersheva and he left the world. And then when he came back in, he was in Haran. He popped out of the world. When he popped back in, he was in a different place. And that's Kriyat Derech. Alright, so we're all looking at each other. That's Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, he's a big Kaddish, and he's like, he's the one that can put 12 stones under his head and wakes up in the morning and there's one. Kiddur, and he dreams, in his dreams, he sees Hashem at the top of a ladder. So that means he talked to Yaakov Avinu could live in the other world. Yaakov Avinu is capable of going to Olam Haba in his lifetime, Papa going to Olam Haba, and then coming back. We all know that's Yaakov Avinu. The thing is, when he came to Lavan's house, he had nothing to offer. He had no money. What happened to all his money? Esav's son, Eliphaz, Esav commanded Eliphaz to find Yaakov and kill him. So he found Yaakov, and he said, Yaakov, beloved Uncle Yaakov, Uncle Yaakov, yes, Eliphaz, I'm sorry, I gotta kill you. You gotta kill me, don't kill me, you have to kill me, I never did anything to you. It's a mitzvah. Keep it up, I gotta kill you. Yaakov says, you're right. It's a mitzvah. He'll give you a lamb to shishtik. Ani chashim kameis. It's a lamb to shishtik. Ani chashim kameis. Take everything. I'll be like a dead person. And you'll be mekayim kibbutz because you killed me. And then I'll gain on it because I won't be dead. Eliphaz held his good shishtik. Eliphaz grew up in Yitzchak's lap, so he held the shishtik tyrant. And he took everything away and he didn't kill Yanka. How do you... You have to understand this kind. I asked Ramesh Shapiro this question. I said, how did Eliphaz catch up to Yaakov to rob him, to threaten him? Yaakov Avinu wasn't in this world. It was Krit Zaderech. How do you rob someone that's on Krit Zaderech? How do you catch up to someone that's on Krit Zaderech? Where do you find someone that's on Krit Zaderech? Where are they hanging out? He left the world in Beersheva. Where was he? Who knows? Comes back in the car. Pops in. Where was his opportunity? And my Rebbe told me. He said, Eliphaz is Esav's son, and his son, who's the son of Eliphaz? Amalek. Eliphaz is the father of Amalek. You can't get any deeper than Amalek. Amalek is undiluted evil. Deep evil. Hardcore evil. Total evil. There's nothing about Amalek that's a half effort. They give it up. They never give up. They give it their all. They don't have anything. There's only one thing. They live for one thing. The Klal Yisrael shouldn't live. They live from Klal Yisrael being eradicated. That's their hope. That's what they dream about. That's what they drink with their mother's milk. They can't survive unless Klal Yisrael's out of here. They are the polar extreme of Klal Yisrael. And he says, wherever you find Klal Yisrael, you're going to find a Amalek. Because there's a balance. There's a balance of creation. If Klal Yisrael could be so deep and so holy and so powerful, then they have to have a nemesis that's so deep and so holy and so powerful. If Klal Yisrael climbed to the heights of the Shar HaNun, that they could actually leave this world, so then the Kayak of Ra has to also be able to leave this world and be there. I mean, there's Mishalim we can give for these things, Mishalim. You have someone that's involved with people on day-to-day lives, and he has Yetzirah and there's Yishayness. What happens if he locks himself up in a convent or something like that, monastery, away from everything. And now he has no nisyanis. We all know people that have tried it. There's a whole society built, a whole religion built around this. If you just run away and lock yourself up and leave and go somewhere where the evil isn't there, where the temptations aren't there, then there's no balance. It means you can run away. You can avoid it. You can go away. There's a place where evil can't get to. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. He wants a battlefield on every single front that you're never, ever free to Yetzirah, ever. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world that you can have somebody get to. He removes himself from any undue influences. Takes a house. He boards up the house. You know, nothing can come in. He cleans out everything. The house is the most purest environment, the most hot. You know, he surrounds with Kiddush and Tahara. And because of this, he goes to such heights in Avayit Hashem and Yerushalayim, unparalleled heights, because there's nothing to hold him back. He never did anything wrong. And he gets such a darga that's beyond anything every human being ever dreamed of in perfection. And that darga becomes his worst enemy. He could be chayta because of that. Because Kamen mentions in the Gemara, in Midrash Hazal, of Banasim with Dalem, that their Averis were because they were so great. Not despite they were so great, because they were so great. The Chet HaEgel was because the Shemaim opened up and they saw the Maizeh Merkava. They never would have done the Chet HaEgel if they were on a low Madrega. The Chet HaEgel was done because they were on a Madrega that no human being was ever on that Madrega. They saw what's doing in Shemaim. They saw the Koyach of Ashur. They saw the Koyach of Ashur in Shemaim. Not a cow down here. We're talking about they saw what the Sheirish of Ashur. You see the Sheirish of Ashur.
How does that work?
I don't want to know. How does that work? Are you talking about the Koyach of Ashur?
No, I'm just talking about this whole concept of because they were on a level, that's what
because the cause of the sin was? Created the world. The wherever it is,
that's what the balance is?
There's a balance. At the end of the day, no matter how big you are, no matter how great you are, no matter how kaddish you are, there's always gaiva. You can't run away. There's always gaiva. Gaiva goes in the holiest of places and the highest of places. And Amalek is so tame. They're so tame that they're the ones that they're mamish. This is beyond our understanding. His mouth beyond our understanding. But Amalek and Klai Yisrael, if Klai Yisrael is better Sharonon, Amalek's better Sharonon. Haman and Mordechai, they're fighting each other for king of the mountain of the Sharonon. Eliphaz and Yaakov, the mamish there, together, in the Crete Santara, in the Sharonon. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that. Because Baka wants that the Kekas Hara have the ability of going on without limit. Because Baka wants that the Kekas Hara have the ability of going to such a point that a human being can never take them down. Because Baka wants that the downfall of the most tame entity in this world should not be seen. You can't even see it. You can't see it. They're so powerful, you can't understand how they're ever going to come down. That no human being could ever take down Adam. No human being could take down Adam. Adam could only come down with a crack of Mala. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants it because at the very cherish of things, the crack of Ra is only bad after it comes out of the cherish. The Koyach HaRa Shebisha Rasha, the root of the Koyach HaRa, is the most important thing in all of creation. It gives purpose to the entire creation. They decide that no matter where you are, what you are, no how for deep or high you are, you always have a battle. You always have a companion. You can never trust yourself. And you always have a fight. You know, you pass one set of Nishanis, then more difficult Nishanis come in its place. You pass those, more. You get up to level, you're almost like a Malach, so then there's a Koyach HaRa that's almost like a Malach. The Koyach HaRa B'Shar Rasha is the most important thing that Hashem created in this world. So perhaps I could give us an insight why they're both Nirmas and Paraduma. Next week we'll start the next session.
It's on there next week.